This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:12 in the evening and you are with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin on the evening edition. And our first story this hour is about the procurement of official cars for ministers and senior government officers. This is after recent reports that the government is looking to appoint a company to supply a number of Velfires and Accords for top civil servants.
The government is deliberating the procurement of the new vehicles after their 25-year concession with Spanco, Sedrian Berhad ended last year. The deal will reportedly be for 15 years and cost 300 million ringgit annually in management fees after the fifth year. It's been reported that it will involve 32 units of Toyota Velfire for ministers, 3,000 Honda Accords for senior government officials, as well as 8,000 Proton Persona and Proton Saga.
So, of course, this plan has drawn criticism, because of the concession fee and the fact that they're looking for Japanese cars for the ministers and senior officers to use instead of, your local Proton car. The Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Minister, Datuk Sri Saifuddin Nasution Ismail, had explained that, ending Spanco's concession was meant to cut operating costs and that the cabinet had previously discussed other cost-saving options, things like giving a vehicle allowance instead of an official vehicle itself.
So, yeah, I have a lot of thoughts, but a lot of them are also focused primarily on noticing the brand of car and the model of car. I do not understand why we can't have local cars, being provided for our top government officials. It seems to me to be entirely logical. It's on brand. It is an important message that you'd be sending. And I was thinking back also to our show yesterday when we spoke about the education minister and who we want to see, not actually who, but the kind of person, right? The qualities that you would want them to have. And one of the things that came up over and over again was everyone was saying, they should have children at least in public schools. Yeah. They should have experienced public schools. They shouldn't be people who are sending their kids to international schools. And I think that there is a similar vibe here where it's like, if you're looking for this sort of contract, if you are looking for the kinds of vehicles that are going to be transporting the people who are going to be making decisions in our country, why not local cars? I don't understand.
I think it's also rubbing a lot of people the wrong way because of the price of each car. You know, do ministers necessarily need to get a car that is almost 400,000 ringgit? When you are one, telling poor people to take responsibility for being poor, and on the other end, promising to cut down on costs that the government, because the government just essentially doesn't have money. So I think that's just one big problem that I personally also have with this.
Yeah, I remember when reports about this concession came about, it was around the time when they were thinking of taking away the critical service incentive. So people were comparing it to like, you want to take away public servant incentives, where at the same time you're riding these excessively expensive cars, 7-seaters for what, like that kind of thing. So the optics wasn't great. And the fact that they were looking for Japanese cars instead of Proton at a time when the Prime Minister is encouraging building a third national car, for example, it just doesn't align really. Like, what is the idea behind this?
Yeah, it also, I think for me, just fundamentally feels a little bit old-fashioned in the sense that cars have always been a way to signal status.
Yeah.
So, which is why if you look at the kinds of cars that they're looking at for different people, there is actually a very, very clear, Velfires are only for ministers, right? As well as
Accords.
Yes, and Accords, you can talk about senior government officials, and then everyone else gets the Protons. So it's a little bit, it's very old-fashioned in that sense. It's like, look at what car I was given. It's not even look at what car I own, but it's look at what car, the car is commensurate to my status. And I think that is also rubbing me the wrong way. So there's just a lot of different things here. And we haven't even gotten into the issue of procurement and transparency and whether the tender process is going to be an open one, which is, I think, the expectation for everything nowadays.
Just give all of them a Proton and or a Perdua. Enough.
Yeah, more
enough.
Egalitarian, right?
Yeah.
Or go back to that idea of giving a vehicle budget, as opposed to providing, like you said, a 7-seater for one person and three bodyguards. I don't know. It's just that there are all these factors that are entering the space. But yeah, we're talking today about this idea of procurement of official cars for ministers and senior government officers and all the things that go into that. But if you have thoughts on the fact that it is... Well, it's looking as if we're going to be getting Toyota Velfires and Honda Accords for the upper ups, and then 8,000 Proton Persona and Proton Sagas for everyone else. Mm. Then let us know. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at PFM Radio. In the meantime, we're crossing over to Cynthia Gabriel, director at C4, the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism. Cynthia, thank you for joining us. So right now, there are some negative reactions, including in the studio, about what's being perceived as an upgrade in the official cars. But Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Minister Datuk Sri Saifuddin Nasution has said ending the previous concession was meant to cut operating costs. Is this scenario possible? How does it work?
Yeah, well, it's very interesting that the government would propose the change of cars at this time of the country's economy when it's actually doing really badly. And so we are told that the economy is really doing very badly and it really needs to be boosted and needs to be picked up. The two main questions that immediately come to mind is why the change now? Is this a priority? While we understand that the contract of Spanco has been terminated and that this will actually allow better biddings and more open tender bidding, so that part is great. But is this really a priority at the moment to actually change such a large number of fleets? And the second is why become so indulgent that we would be looking at reports of the choices that the government's making, like a luxury minivan of a Toyota Velfire, which according to the news report costs about RM362,000 ringgit per vehicle. And on top of that, the same report also talked about purchasing Honda Accord sedans of up to 148,500 ringgit per vehicle. So why the indulgence over such luxury vehicle would be the second question. It is understandable that official cars would need maintenance and would need to be changed over time. And if it's very old cars, probably the maintenance costs will go up. Those mathematics are understood and probably understood by all members of the public as well. But the question now is this a priority given the current state of the economy? And the indulgence is something which is really eyebrow-raising, because whatever happened to Proton Perdana cars and going local and promoting our own brand of national cars, you know? So this is actually quite something that I hope the cabinet will consider pushing back. And at a time also when the public is really suffering with rising costs of living, and now even more and more announcements like the petrol price will now be floated again. So this needs to be balanced out very much in order not to incur public anger and public outcry over a decision like this.
And how important is it here to manage public perception? Because on one hand, perhaps you want to convey a bit of status, maybe. But on the other hand, if you choose a more luxurious car, the people are going to be angry for all the reasons you've described.
Well, I think it's a very delicate balance, because according to the news report, you're talking about 12,500 vehicles that will be changed. And this is actually quite a large amount. So it could be done in various ways. One way is to phase it out over several years because it would actually cost 300 million to actually do this. And also the 300 million is being reported as management fees after the fifth year. Normally people change their cars after like 5-6 years before it starts giving trouble. So the balance, I feel, is like it needs to be weighed very carefully between taking care of public interest, which means like it's more important to lower ticket prices of the MRT, LRT buses and so on, rather than putting this as a priority, for example. Another way is to actually just look at giving transport allowance to ministers and deputy ministers, as is the case in several countries already. So it is up to the minister, deputy minister, to just purchase their own vehicle. And it is not something that would be a burden to the government to then standardize and buy all vehicles for ministers and so on and so forth. I mean, like in Sweden, ministers actually use public transport to get to work, or they cycle to their ministerial offices and all. So there's a very wide-ranging spectrum of how this is actually treated in many different countries. So CIFOR has no issue with official cars per se, but it has to be really, really implemented in a way to make sure that public interest overrides all of these privileges. And certainly the privileges cannot be one that is indulgent, and the privileges cannot be one that will actually use a lot of taxpayers' money. It is not right to actually usurp so much taxpayers' money at a time when the economy is really faring very badly and that the public is actually struggling to make ends meet. So I would recommend two things. That one, as the finance minister said, decision not yet made, cabinet to actually defer this, and cabinet to actually take steps to maybe lower the cost of public transportation, improve connectivity, and actually halt any other measures that will increase the cost of living for the public. Only after this, you know, I mean, it's really important to cut costs by going local, promoting the Proton Pradhanas and the local makes for ministers to actually use. There's no reason to get a Toyota Velfire, especially at this point in time.
And how do you think we can ensure there's transparency in the process of replacing the previous concession?
Yeah, well, I'm basing it on the Malay Mail report that says that on the 31st of December, the Minister of Domestic Trade had actually announced that the 25-year government concession with this company called Spanco would be ended. It would end. And that a new procurement process will follow and it would be open tender. So that is a good thing, and that is a step in the right direction, that it has to be opened up and that bidders can actually apply for this whole project. But the question here is about true transparency, which means it's not just up to the bidding stage, but it's about how the contractor, the one that finally wins the bid, gets chosen, and based on what factors. And the public interest would also require that the contractor that is awarded the bid would also be detailing out the details of this procurement process. So everything is above board, it's put up on the website, and people actually know how it's going to be carried out in phases, especially with regard to maintenance fees as well and all that. So we're not just talking about transparency at the early stages of who is actually bidding for it. And so far, there's 7 or 8 companies that have bidded for it. But the entire process of how was the decision made, which contractor actually got the bid, and based on what criteria, based on what factors, and that they also have to sign a consent of a declaration form that actually talks about no conflict of interest in actually giving out the contract, and how it can be reduced much more. So before we even talk about bidding and tendering, it's the whole procurement document that probably needs to be revised, because it's going to cost a lot of money and we may not actually be very happy if ministers start driving Velfires around while the public is actually struggling to make ends meet. So we recommend a review of the entire process first, and then open up the tender bids again.
Cynthia, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Cynthia Gabriel, director at C4, the Center to Combat Corruption and Cronyism. And we're talking today about procurement of official cars for ministers and senior government officers. This is coming because there's been a re-looking of the contract. And so it's open season. And why are they not looking at local cars? I'm sorry, I'm very stuck on that. So we've been asking you for your thoughts on this whole thing. You can call us at 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. With us in the studio is a fresh voice and a fresh perspective on this, Arif Roos from BFM's Cruise Control. Arif, thanks for joining us.
Hello, how are you guys?
Good, mostly angry today. Okay, so I guess to start us off, right, like, what were your thoughts when you first heard what was going on around the official cars?
I think, like everybody else, Velfire is definitely excessive. Spending 300 million ringgit per annum on government cars, very excessive. There's so many different ways in which we could spend this money a lot better. Like, you know, Honda Accord is much cheaper. They've been the status quo for a lot of governments all across the world. Why don't we just use that? And then there's, you know, a lot of people have been talking about Proton, Perdua, especially the third new national car. So what exactly is the reason for including the Velfire here? No, well, nobody knows.
Well, I mean, one thing that has come up in our conversation about the reason behind it, right? A lot of things that come up is about the status symbol of it. So I just want to ask, like, why do you think cars in particular have a strong link to status?
I think cars, generally, people buy them because it represents a part of them. It represents what they like and what they like to do and the sort of people they are. So if you buy an SUV, if you buy a BMW X3 or a Perodua Arrows or an X70, you are a very specific type of person. Mm. Is it even inclusive?
Yes. No, I'm sorry, but yes.
Yeah. If you buy an older car, used car, perhaps something that a lot of people might not buy and would instead buy a new car for, you are generally thought of as a car enthusiast, somebody who likes cars. So, you know, all of these cars are designed so specifically to hit a certain target market, mm-hmm. and people will respond to that because certain aspects of the car are, you know, are pointed to a certain direction of people. So, yeah.
I have my own personal answer and personal perception about this, but what do you think the Toyota Velfire conveys?
In Malaysia, it conveys status, mm-hmm. power in you know, that sense. And to me personally, I think it implies a lot of, like, arrogance, and, you know, you are somebody of power and status, mm-hmm. and people should always just part the seas for you on the highway, and it doesn't matter who or what you want. As long as you are in a Velfire, you are somebody.
So we've been talking quite a bit about the optics, right, surrounding this decision and surrounding this decision happening right now, in fact. And we have a pretty interesting point here from Jason, who says, ministers need to use national cars. The South Korean president rides on a Hyundai. The Japanese prime minister rides on a Toyota. Trump rides on the Beast, which is the Cadillac. So I do think that there is this question here. Do you think that it's important for government officials to be seen to be championing whatever their local car might be?
Yes, I mean, especially for us, because we've already had two national cars already and we refuse to use both of them right now. And especially if we want to pour a lot of these money and a lot of taxes, you know, producing tax breaks and all that stuff, the least we could do is to supply our government with cars that they tell people to support. If they are not supporting these cars, then why should we? They should be, if they say that they are the leaders of the country, they should present themselves that way. And especially these new generation Protons, they are quite something else compared to what was on offer. So why aren't we even considering these things, especially when we say, you know, they are the third national car or the second or the first national car?
And, like, if you look at it, right, the fact that they are choosing to use a car from another country, for example, doesn't that reflect a lack of confidence in our own cars?
Totally. I totally agree with that. And I mean, the Proton X70, sure, the Velfire has its status symbol. In Japan, is referred and revered as, you know, the CEO's car. Mm-hmm. You are a very wealthy businessman and you are respected amongst the community. But the way it's seen here is completely on the other side of the scale. The Proton X70 or any other Proton, the Perdana, whether that might be an old Honda Accord, it projects at the very least, a sense of, like, you know, pride of what we made. And that's what I think we need to have.
So I'm going to try my best to find a small silver lining here. Just from a specs perspective, comparing the Proton X70 to, say, a Velfire, are they very much far apart?
I mean, totally, yes. Mm. The Velfire is a car built for transporting executives and perhaps some of their friends and family in. It's a car that you are meant to float about town in. The Proton X70 is a family car by definition. It's built tough. It's built to be reliable. It's built to be comfortable and yet somewhat engaging in certain ways. A Velfire is just a cloud.
So here's the thing, right? And maybe this is not the right question to ask somebody who's interested in cars, because I'm not. I don't know them very well. I've always regarded my cars as a very, very functional part of my life. It's not
a box with four wheels.
Pretty much, you know. Are you going to cost me a lot in terms of maintenance? What is your consumption like? And that's it. That's all I care about. So in line with that, someone else did point that out. Another listener saying that, you know, fundamentally, this should be regarded as a vehicle that gets a minister from point A to point B, especially considering that ministers and government officials also have outriders. So yes. It's not as if they necessarily need that parting of the seas. They have that. They literally have that.
Yeah.
You know, what's your take on that? Do you think that from the point of view of busy people, busy, powerful people, the car should nevertheless be viewed in that light?
Yeah, I mean, they are just functions from A to B. I mean, the way things are moving in the future, cars that we drive will only be left for enthusiasts. And the function of self-driving cars in the future, which would mean we just end up from A to B. And these ministers, their whole point is to get from press conference to press conference to whatever launch they have to go through at night. So it's it's very... They need to be driving, at the very least, something that is economical to our budget, economical to them, and something that respects how Malaysians view them and how they view us. Because what the Velfire implies is, sure, it might not mean it, but what the Velfire implies is that they are, you know, a class above the regular Malaysian. That's what it does to me.
Judging by the amount of people messaging in deeply irritated, I think that's what it means to a lot of people. So, Arif, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you for having me.
And I think you're also going to be discussing this tomorrow, right,
yep.
On Cruise Control. Okay,
yep.
So that is something that you guys might want to catch tomorrow at 8 p.m. Arif, again, thank you very much for dropping
by.
And now heading back to the messages. So we've got a bunch, including this from Kenny from local car makers saying, please add the vehicle specs into the technical tender instead of deciding the model or make. Spell out 7-seater with, you know, X amount of power for ministers due to travelling needs. Therefore, your vendors can then source the right vehicle. For example, a Velfire, if none is produced by Proton or Perodua, let the vendors make the best deal for your budget.
Yeah, you know, it does point out perhaps that even in this case, that it has to be needs-based as opposed to be one that is position-based, right? You know, if you were in a role that perhaps requires you to travel to a lot more places that have harder surfaces, if you're going off-road, for example, then perhaps your vehicle should reflect that. But if your job is mainly in urban centres, then it's not something that you need a truly extravagant car for.
Meanwhile, Kyrol says, I don't quite agree with the selection of the Velfire, but to be fair, at the moment, one, the government doesn't have a choice. Proton is partially owned by Geely. They don't make the Padana anymore because Geely doesn't want anything to do with Honda. And, you know, the Proton, the largest, most executive vehicle is the X70 SUV, which maybe doesn't meet the criteria of what they're looking for. Secondly, they're purchasing the Velfire at a duty-free price, so it should be less than 200k per vehicle. The Honda Accord is locally assembled by the Honda Malacca plant. The maintenance probably makes sense compared to other luxury choices. And yeah, Proton and Perodua might not just, you know, provide these other options. Having said that, the timing is not right under current circumstances to replace cars.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the question that everyone is asking is like, why luxury cars? It doesn't look good. It doesn't make sense. It's not egalitarian. And I think just going to a point earlier that one of our listeners said is that, you know, instead of specifying what car you want, specify what the specs you are looking for, because especially in terms of transparency, I think that would help really, really much. The people who are looking for the tender, they can look for the right kind of car for you instead of, like, you know, saying, I want a Velfire, get me a Velfire. So it's more about a question of, like, getting you what you need rather than what you want, really.
We have this next message here that says 300 million ringgit per annum is ludicrous and totally unacceptable, especially after all the rhetoric on our national debt. It'll be cheaper for the government to buy it right out instead. Having said that, though, I propose the 32 Velfire be swapped to Proda Aurus and the 3000 Accord changed to Proton Persona.
I can feel the savings raining down from the sky. Ro has offered this. We're going to steal this, Ro, just letting you know for our podcast title. Ministers coming under Velfire.
Excellent.
Yes, nicely done. I quite enjoy. And then we also have Marissa saying, shame on them, use local cars, reduce the tolls for crying out loud, keep your promise.
Yeah, exactly. Or, like, you know, use your own cars and get that the transportation allowance or whatever it is. You know, just get a luxury car at a time when people can't afford things.
Khairuddin is saying, please insist that ministers take Grab to their meetings. It's frugal. Government servants should just take Dego. They should support the local gig economy. Please. Our economy cannot afford our ministers and public servants to go with luxury cars. And when it rains, just take Grab.
Yeah, right. And I think it really also, as a side benefit, that, you know, we all always seem to be able to have really good and insightful conversation with Grab drivers. Perhaps that's also a way for the ministers, for MPs, for them to be able to connect with people on the ground, to speak to them about what their problems are and all that as well.
Yeah, I think there is this abiding sentiment coming from people of, you don't know what it's like, you know, basically. And I think that so long as you ride around in your isolated seven-seater, it will continue to be hard because you have outriders who take care of traffic for you.
Yeah.
You never take a train. You know, so of course, you're never really going to understand. You know, when people gripe, you're like, I hear you, bros. But you could actually live it, you know, and it wouldn't be that bad. Anyway, we've been talking today about procuring official cars for government servants, for our ministers, for officials. If you have thoughts, you can keep sending them through. 7733-2900 is the number to call. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.